Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Wolves podcast for July 23rd. I'm Tom Schreier, co-founder of ZoneCoverage.com. And with me on the line, as always, is Colt Molesky. Colton, we just went over, I think it was Friday, we went over your top 10 point guards. What position are we focusing on today?
We're going shooting guards, right down the list of, if you're listing off guys on the court, we're just going right down 1 through 5. We're going to shoot guards today, the 2 spot. And I think this is probably one of the more fun spots just to watch, because they're going to be really good shooters here, and on the defensive side, you want your shooting guards to be really solid defensively. They're going to be really good spot shooters, catch and shoot guys. So this is a fun group of guys here. I really like my 1 through 10 here. Also, to everybody who hit me up on Twitter after my last list, I would like to thank all of you for listening. I love when you reach out to me. I love your opinions. I love that you listen to the show. Keep it up. I got another 1 through 10. I'm sure there'll be some disagreements. Keep hitting me up. I love that you guys are listening to the show and reaching out and actually digesting what's going on, not just having it on as white noise. So keep that up, listeners.
We really appreciate it. We love the listener transaction. We may even do a call-in show or something like that. Maybe get some Twitter questions. Now that we're picking up steam, Colt Molesky, we're exposing him to the masses. And he's already getting controversial. Very controversial. Point guard, go back and listen to it if you haven't. A huge controversial list. It's the biggest news of the day. It isn't, but it was exciting. Who do we got at number 10 for your shooting guards?
Number 10, I felt like I almost had to put him on the list somewhere at the shooting guard spots. But Eric Gordon out of Houston, the sixth man of the year for 2016-17. He had 16 points a game, 2 rebounds, 2 assists a game. Didn't play a huge amount of minutes like the rest of my guys on this list, but he was a very solid shooter, very good from outside, and he was a really good guy, too. If you wanted to bring him in to either compensate for having a guy like James Harden out, or if you wanted to change the pace of the game, if you wanted to pick up the pace, if you wanted to add another really good deep threat, really spread the defense of the opposing team out, he was a really good guy for that. So I think there's something to be said for somebody to come in and just play a role really well. And he really did a great job being the sixth man. That's why he won the award. But he was a really good sixth man. And he did a great job in that system, too. He was in a system where they wanted him to spread the floor, wanted to shoot a lot of threes. And so he came off the bench, shot really well from three, and did his job. And I think that showed on the court, and it showed by voters putting him as a sixth man. So he's my number 10 shooting guard.
So he is a 29-year-old player now. Do you believe he has not been an all-star yet? Is this a guy who has all-star ability, or do you think he's just kind of does his job and that's not kind of part of the equation for him?
I think he has all-star potential. I need to see a little more from him on the defensive side to make that all-star team, even if he's going to be a second-teamer. He still needs to do a little bit more on the defensive side, but offensively, he's a really solid guy. And I think too, it is impressive when you're able to come in cold off the bench and be able to jack up a bunch of threes in a 15 to 20 minute span. And that's not exactly easy when you're coming in, you don't really have the rhythm of the game, you don't really have the rhythm of the offense for that night, and you just come in and are expected to put up points. And he averaged 16 points a game, so he's putting up a decent amount of points when he's coming in those situations. And so offensively, all-star, I think, already. Defensively, need to improve a little bit, but he's a fringe all-star guy.
Who do we got at number 9?
Number 9, Devin Booker, Phoenix Suns, 22 points a game, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Oh, and I forgot to mention on Eric Gordon, but for these guys, I did, for shooting, for the point guards, I did the kind of impact rating on a player who has it per game. Right. For the shooting guards, I think it's easier if we go offensive net rating. So that is basically how many times or how many points a player is getting individually on possessions per 100 possessions. So Eric Gordon was 110, Devin Booker a little over 105, but his usage rate is way higher. He's on the court all the time. He's a primary offensive threat for the Suns. And he's a guy who, my next two guys, number 8 and number 9, are guys who are younger guys who have a lot of potential going forward. And if I'm drafting them for just 1 year, like this list entails, we entail in depth a little bit about what this list is in the first episode with point guards. But if I'm just getting him for 1 year, Devin Booker is definitely my 9th guy because he was just such a threat offensively. Obviously, everybody saw his 70-point game against the Boston Celtics, but he's a stud night in, night out. That's not just a one-hit wonder or a month that he's able to do those kind of offensive things. He is a stud all year long and puts up big numbers. And I think he's a really good guy, too, in this new era of kind of really quick transition basketball and moving down the court quickly. He's one of those guys who excels in that kind of basketball. And so the basketball style right now is perfect for his play.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge, huge Booker guy. I absolutely love him as a player. Quick question here. Obviously, this is the Karl Anthony Towns draft. He went 13th overall behind guys like Trey Lyles, Miles Turner, Justice Winslow. This draft is done again. We're redrafting this. Where does he go? Where do you think he goes?
I would put him in the top 6.
Top 6. And this is 2015. It went Towns, D'Angelo Russell, Jahlil Okafor, Kristaps Porzingis, Mario Hezonja. I probably should know that, but can
I? Yeah, Mario Hezonja.
Yeah, and then Willie Cauley-Stein.
Here's the thing, too, is I say top 6 just because teams have different preferences and different needs, but really, after Towns and Porzingis, was there a guy who was better than him in those top 10?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't. There's a question about Moutier. You know, some of these other guys like Winslow and Kaminsky. Yeah, I agree. I'm admittedly very bullish on Booker, but I just think if you can get a guy like that at 13, especially for kind of this young team like Phoenix, it's exciting stuff.
Yeah, I love Booker, and I think too, as this team, because they have a very young roster, as this team gets older together, this will be, I don't know how this team will do just in the next 3 years if they're a playoff team, but offensively, this is going to be a fun team to watch year in and year out for the next 2 or 3 years for sure.
Number eight,
local boy Andrew Wiggins is my number 8 spot. 23 points a game, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. His offensive net rating was 109 points. The reason I have him at number 8 is, and we have talked about this before with the Butler trade, with the guys they're bringing in on the bench, there were a couple months where Andrew Wiggins looked like he was a top 15 player in the league. And then there were months where Andrew Wiggins looked like he was a bottom 15 player in the league. I mean, there's times where his defense is so lackadaisical and his offense is really confusing with the shots he's deciding to take and the rhythm he's deciding to go in compared to the rhythm that the game is being played at. And he has some trouble sometimes finding just the pace of the game for his team and where to set the pace offensively, defensively. There's a couple times during the season where you just shake your head and go, Wiggins, what was that week? What was that week of games right there? And there are other times where he looks like an all-star. So I really need more than anything to see Wiggins be consistent, because I think if he's consistently good instead of really great and really bad, I think he's got a shot at the All-Star game this year. But he has to be consistent because the talent is there. The talent is there, but now hopefully Jimmy Butler can help him become more of an even keel player.
Yeah, let's pause on him real quick because this is a Wolves podcast. Interesting enough, not to spoil the point guard episode, but Jeff Teague, for example, was not in your top 10. This is a guy you are listing as one of the top 10 players at his position. We're making the assumption he's going to be a 2 primarily, at least as a starter, most likely. How much do you think being in Tibbs' system for the second year in a row, Jimmy Butler on the team, guys even like Taj Gibson, maybe even Jeff Teague, Jamal Crawford there to set a standard for Andrew Wiggins. How much do you think that can help? Just with his focus, 538 had him as the worst defensive player in the NBA. I don't know if I agree with that, but I understand the stats behind it, that he really should have been defending better, even though he's defending good players. I really think he's capable. Do you think he takes that leap? Because in my mind, offensively, love his game. Needs more focus, obviously, but love his game. Defensively, it feels like there's just an untapped potential there for Andrew Wiggins.
I think he does take a leap just for a couple reasons. First reason, just because he's in the same system for another season. So he's going to be used to the offensive plays they're running for another season. He's going to be more in a rhythm defensively, and he knows how the head coach, Tom Thibodeau, wants him to play and how what he expects of him. And I think he's going to be better because he's going to be guarding the number two guy almost all the time. Number two, and if they're playing a team like the Pelicans, where the number one and two guys are big guys, then I see probably Butler and Towns guarding the two best guys, and so he's going to be on the third best guy. And so when he's guarding the second best guy, he can lock down those guys most nights. And there's a lot less pressure on him. Butler's the leader of this team now, I really believe. So there's a lot less pressure for him. He can just come in and do his thing offensively and then be the long guy who's breaking up passes and kind of blanketing the second best guy on the team. I think he really thrives in that role. And I think that another year of him shooting, we talk about the defense a lot, but another year of him shooting, there was times where his shot was inconsistent, but he is a good shooter overall. Another year of him shooting is just going to help him too. Just more time in the gym, more time gluing and gelling with Towns, and more time with Crawford. Crawford's a sniper from the outside. He can give him some tips. There's just so many reasons why I think he'll be successful this year. And two, if I'm just drafting shooting and I get Towns, I just like his raw potential. I mean, this is where the league is going. I like long guys who can kind of in the way when teams are trying to go fast, they can cause problems in transition. And on the other side, I like that he can make his own shot. I really like that. We saw that. I think the most highlighted play probably of last season for him was when he was playing against the Phoenix Suns, and he pulls that juke. It was such a good juke that he juked himself a little bit. He's got his hand on the floor, picks himself up, and launches that shot over the next defender coming up to try and cover him, and he wins the game on that shot. And I think those are the kind of things that he can do a lot of, and I really like that in a shooting guard.
With you on Wiggins, who's number seven?
Number seven, I have DeMar DeRozan. I know that this is probably a drop for a lot of people. I'm sure that a lot of people think he's a top 10 shooting guard. 27 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 110 offensive net rating. Here's the thing about DeMar DeRozan. Last season, 26% from 3-point range is just atrocious. Even though he is paired up with a guy like Kyle Lowry who can shoot so well from deep, you still need to be able to shoot the 3-ball. And we see this most often in the playoffs when it really is a problem. When they're down by 2 or 3 possessions and he can't pull up from deep and he has to drive in and people are really sitting on his 15-foot shot and giving him the 3-point shot and he still can't hit, it's a problem. And if you're going to be a starting shooting guard, you need to be able to knock down some shots from deep, especially if they're open. And he just can't do it. And so that's why he's number seven for me.
Real quick here, we kind of talked about Toronto, both with the point guard podcast and this one. You're really a Kyle Lowry guy. I personally love Dwayne Casey, and part of it maybe is because he comes back here and he's so friendly. But, you're looking at DeRozan, 3-time All-Star, 3 in the past 4 years. Where does Toronto sit in the East for you? Because we kind of see this declawed Eastern Conference, and yet this powerhouse team that probably is coming apart in Cleveland. Where do you put Toronto given the talent they have?
That's a tough question. I think Boston's number one. And now it really is we really got to see how this because Cleveland could be a number two seed. But I think if they're a number two seed, then they have to play LeBron 40 minutes a night. And that's a lot of work for LeBron to head into the playoffs with, especially after being in so many finals. So he's basically playing basketball year round.
Right.
So I think that Toronto is going to be a three seed that has a ton of potential with Cleveland coming into the season hurt because they're going to lose Kyrie Irving here, and they're sitting right in between Cleveland, and I think the Milwaukee Bucks will probably be the fourth seed, and they've got a real good shot to do some damage because there's not a lot in the East. There's not a lot in the East playoff-wise.
So you're number six.
Number six, Bradley Beal. I really am high on him this year and going into next year because 77 games, that's how many games he started in this year, the highest the highest amount of games that he has ever started. His previous highest was 73, and then I believe he doesn't get over 60 in any of his other seasons. So 77 games, he stayed healthy pretty much the entire year, had some bumps and bruises, but for the most part, he was a healthy player. He was 23 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists throughout the year, 112 net rating offensively. I just really love what I saw from him in the playoffs against the Celtics. I thought he shot really well. I think he's a really good shooter. He's a really good offensive creator. I think he's one of those guys who, if he didn't play with John Wall, he might be like a DeRozan where he's making most of the offensive plays himself. And I like, too, that he can not only be that guy who makes plays, who can make his own shot, but he's also comfortable catching and shooting, too. I think that's a skill as well, where you can do all three of those, and that makes you a really special shooting guard.
Similar question for you, because I really am bullish on the Wizards. I think that was a huge win for the Wolves last year when they kind of caught them when they were at their best and pulled out a win with their young team. Where's Washington in this? John Wall, I'm not going to reveal where he was, but you were very high on him in the point guard episode. Where you're high on Beal. What about the team as a whole?
If this team can stay healthy, and I know that's a big if with the guys on the squad and just how fast they play, I think they could be in contention to try and steal that fourth seed away from the Bucks. The problem with the Wizards that I have is that they still don't have a bench. They really got hosed with Otto Porter having to fight over him for him with Brooklyn,
right,
and having to give him all that max money. They really handicapped them in the offseason to go out and get big name free agents. And so they haven't really done a ton to try and bolster their roster and give their team some depth. If their starters can hold up, they'll probably be a fourth seed this year. If their starters can hold up, that's a big if again, but they'll be a fourth seed. But if they aren't, they've still got that problem in the playoffs. They're still stuck with a bunch of guys who are going to give away a 15-point lead when Beal and Wall and all their starters are on the bench.
We will get to your number five real quick, but tell people about your favorite app ever, and please give away the promotion code so that they can use it and get some money off.
My favorite app ever, SeatGeek. I love SeatGeek. I love going to sporting events, obviously. I'm a little bit into sports.
Right.
And I am also a college student, so I have basically no money. So it is good to get a deal on my tickets when I purchase them. And I love going to SeatGeek to do that because they give me the best deals. And you know what? My listeners, I can't do this. I'm not a listener, but my listeners get this special deal where if they use the promo code LONBA, LONBA, all caps, you can get $20 off your SeatGeek purchase. So not only are you getting tickets at a deal, you're getting them at a better deal because you listen to this show.
All right. Who's number five for you?
Number five, Dwayne Wade, the old guy from the old guard, Dwayne Wade. 18 points a game, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 103 offensive net rating. This one was a little more about what he can do for a team, both defensively and because of what he can do in the locker room, on the bench, coaching guys up. I still think that he is good enough where he can make a difference on a team and be a consistent, solid starter. And I like that he is going to make guys around him better. He's not just going to be a solid player. He's going to make guys around him better, whether it's coaching them up, whether it's helping them practice, or whether it's just sprinting around the ball when he's playing. He's not going to need a certain amount of shots a night to make a difference. He can put up a lot of shots. Obviously, the rebounds and assists last year were a little lower than they usually are, but he can go and get boards. He can go and throw out a bunch of assists one night. He doesn't have to be a scorer to be a weapon.
Dwayne Wade, outside of his rookie season in 2003-04 and last season, has been an all-star every year he's played in the NBA. However, 35 years old, moves from Miami to Chicago, his hometown. And now he's got to be, I mean, the big joke, right, was when the Wolves traded for Butler, was did anyone let Dwayne Wade know about this? Is he in a good position right now with Chicago? And do you worry about him at the age 36 season?
I don't think he's in a great position just because not only did they get rid of Jimmy Butler, they also, I thought it kind of went under the radar after Jimmy Butler, but I feel like Rajon Rondo leaving was also a little bit of a hit. And obviously, if I had said that a couple of years ago when he was on the Kings, nobody would believe
right.
me that was a big deal. But he played really well in the playoffs. Rajon Rondo had some really good really good months this last season. And so I think that was a little bit of a hit just because their kind of turn wheel of point guards behind him are all mediocre, subpar point guards and not real starters. I also think it hurt that when they drafted at number 7, they took Markkanen and not maybe like a Malik Monk or really pretty much anybody that was available then. Even like a Dennis Smith, if they're going to get rid of Rajon Rondo, get another point guard like that. They didn't get any of those guys. They got a guy who can't really rebound, and he shoots the ball, but not particularly. He was okay in summer league. He wasn't exceptional, and so maybe he has a shot, but he still doesn't rebound. He's still not going to help defensively, and so Dwayne Wade is a little bit stranded here, and at 36, he can carry some weight, but how much of this team's weight can he really carry? It's not going to be like when he was on Miami before LeBron. He's not going to be able to do that again. So he's in a little bit of a weird spot, and it was a little unfortunate just because that roster was actually fairly decent, and then this offseason, right around the time of the draft, everything kind of left around him.
That might be your first controversial pick. Not as controversial as your point guards, but that one you might hear about on Twitter.
I got a lot of people who disagreed with my point guard ranking.
Obviously, let Colton know. We love interaction with the show as long as you're sane. Number 4, who you got?
Number 4, I had CJ McCollum off of Portland. I had him on here. I don't think if I had done this list last year, I'm not sure he would have been in my top 5. But then Damian Lillard went out for a good chunk of time at the beginning of the season. And CJ McCollum really did a good job carrying the team while in his absence. Had ended with 23 points a game, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. His net rating was 109. I think those numbers are a little tainted just because that he plays with Damian Lillard, who is such a good point guard. I think if he's on his team where on a team where he is the primary scorer, he could average close to 30 points a game and his net rating would skyrocket. I just think he is such a good shooter. He's so good at driving to the basket and getting shots off the glass, and then when the defense is overreacting to that, then he's so good at pulling up. He's a really good three-point shooter, can really stretch the defense so well, like a bunch of these shooting guards on the list. But I think that they've made an exceptional pairing in point guard or in Portland with these two guys, Lillard and McCollum, just because not only do they shoot the ball so well from range, but they do a good job of pairing that together and not taking one so much that one isn't getting fed. They're both putting up a bunch of points pretty much every night, and it shows because this is one of the best shooting guards in the league.
Number 3, we got.
Number 3, another local boy now, Jimmy Butler.
Wow.
23 points a game, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 106 net rating. I really love Jimmy Butler because not only is his defense really good with his offense, but these are some of the higher numbers so far on the list. 5 assists a game, 6 rebounds. He is getting involved in a bunch of areas on the court. He's attacking the glass, getting rebounds, and he's also passing the ball around. This is why I think he's going to do well on Minnesota, is because he's going to help get Towns the ball down low. He's going to pass the ball to Wiggins on the perimeter, make sure those guys are getting shots. He's going to pair really well with Teague just in how they're putting the ball around the court and not just going up for points. But he can also put up a lot of points himself. He averaged 23 points a game. He can go and get his as well as get other people involved. And his defense, he's a lockdown defender. He's going to take the number one guy. He's going to take the number one guy, and he's going to be on him all game. He's not shy away from that assignment. And I really love all those aspects. Number 3 on my list, but really, really it's like a 2B. It's number 3, but it's more of a 2B. He is so good.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler, everyone has his number. Jimmy Butler may want yours. He may have something to say about this list. But you said he was kind of 2B. Who's 2A?
2A, I would put Klay Thompson, 22 points a game, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 115 offensive net rating. There are two reasons why he's my number 2. First of all, the fact that he was able to find 22 points a game when he plays with Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry, that's pretty impressive on its own. The second reason is because he is such a good spot-up catch-and-shoot guy that you really can't have him anywhere else on this list. It's insane what he's able to do. We saw the 11 three-point explosion against Oklahoma in the playoffs 2 years ago, we saw him put up 60-plus points in, 20 minutes of play. I mean, when he catches fire, there's nothing you can do about it as a defender. He's just going to get shots off, and he's going to make them all. And the fact that he can go quiet for games, weeks, even a month, he can have mediocre offensive nights and then explode like that when his team needs him is really impressive. And then when he's not exploding offensively, he's still a very good defender. I think he's one of the more underrated defenders in the league just because he's going to quietly put away guys for a night and they're not going to get a lot past him. He's really good, especially when people are trying to drive in. He's got those long arms, making sure that they're not getting anything over the top on him, not banking anything on the glass on top of him. So he does a good job defensively, and then offensively, he can catch fire so quickly. And it's just such an asset for that Warrior team.
So you have Jimmy Butler, 2B, Klay Thompson, 2A. Who stands alone at number one?
Everybody, I couldn't go controversial with this list. Everybody knows who. There's no argument who's number one. James Harden is the best shooting guard in the NBA. And it's close, but it's not really close. His defensive laziness in some games and makes it close, but he was 2 rebounds away from a triple-double. He averaged 29 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists. His net rating off was 113. Everybody knows what he can do. He got that $228 million extension for a reason. He is such an offensive threat. He does, if there's any takeaway or any setbacks to him other than maybe his defensive laziness every once in a while, it's that he does have to possess the ball a lot in order to be successful. He possessed the ball 7th most in the league, in the NBA last year, and now he's paired up with Chris Paul, who possessed it 1st in the NBA last year. And so that might be a little bit of a problem, but even though he does that, he's still there's a reason why he has the ball. He's such a good shooter. And then when he drives in, he gets to the free throw line so often, especially in fourth quarters. And that is so helpful for a team to get points when the clock isn't running. So good on the drive, so quick, and really good job, too, this year, I think, getting assists, making sure that teammates are involved. I really do like that he had 11 assists this year. I think that might have been a little intentional on his part, just going out and saying, I don't have to win these games on my own. I don't have to be like a Russell Westbrook. I can pass the ball around a ton and make sure everybody around me is getting shots and being successful as well.
So that wraps up the 1 through 10, Colton's top 10 shooting guard list. Any final thoughts before we send the people on their way?
Jimmy Butler, I believe in you. You can be number one on this list. Let's go. Let's have a year.
That's really all that Jimmy Butler wants is Colton's number one ranking. I think that's it.
I had a lot of calls from players, and they were clamoring for that number one, but I had to give it to James Harden. He just made such a convincing argument to me on the phone, so I had to give it to him.
Colton Molesky. For Colton Molesky, the honest man, I'm Tom Schreier. This has been the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.